Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what? Here we are, mid-September, late September. Now is a great time to start talking about it because the holidays are just around the corner. Often takes us by surprise. Before we know it, we have to strategize how we're going to handle the dysfunction that exists with relationships that we only tolerate during the holiday season. You know, Uncle Bob and all the junk that he does and all that stuff. And I'm just kidding. I don't have an Uncle Bob. So we have a specialist here today. Her name is Dr. Lakita Carter. She's a licensed psychologist, specializes in trauma. In addition to being a licensed psychologist, she's also a licensed clinical professional counselor and supervisor. She's a licensed clinical alcohol and drug counselor. She's affectionately known as Dr. L. Her patients and students like to call her that. Dr. Carter holds several certificates in psychology. She's a diplomat in the Rape Trauma Academy here. She's also a certified technical trauma professional. Dr. Carter owns and operates the award-winning Institute of Healing, iHealing, a wellness agency based in Owing Mills, Maryland, that specializes in treatment of mental disorders. Her team's been recognized as the largest, fastest-growing woman-owned business and largely minority-owned business in the greater Baltimore area in 2021 and 2022. In 2021, iHealing was honored as the heralded seventh fastest growing private company in the greater Baltimore area. You know, Dr. Carter, you're going to see this when you hear her. She's a sought after speaker, presenter on topics related to trauma, cultural competence in professionals. She also has been featured in a number of television, radio, print media discussions, sharing her insight, important mental health topics, and how they relate to current events and social structures. So today we're talking about a lot, and we've got a specialist. Lakita, thank you so much for being here. I very much appreciate it. And I know our listeners do more than, I'm just going to say big time.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Oh, yeah. So here's the big question. You know what? Your profession might be easy to you, but everybody, it's hard because you're dealing with people who have mental health disorders. They're dealing with trauma, stress, and all that, and you're helping them get through that. And you know what? That's a big field. Sometimes it doesn't have a lot of praise, but you know, what got you started in doing what you're doing?
I think that I've always been a natural listener. I would much prefer to listen to others and their stories than to talk. And so for me, it was quite simple. In looking at my strengths, I quickly learned as a young person that I enjoy listening and also that I'm a good listener. So I often had the experience of much older people than I coming to me and saying, hey, can I talk to you about something? And they would just vent or share their concerns. And sometimes I would share, you know, some feedback. Other times I wouldn't. I would just listen. So that sort of got me interested in psychology and then started researching it and figured out that, you know, there was not a lot of diversity in the field of psychology, yet it touches every person in existence, right? We all have a psyche, so it touches everyone. So it's been my thing since I was in the seventh grade. My mom has a seventh grade paper of me saying I want to be a psychologist.
So you're the person since seventh grade that everybody go talk to and you just listen.
Yeah, I just listened. Yes. And it's been a joy. It's been a pleasure. I absolutely love my job. It is not always the easiest. I would say it feels very natural for me. I wouldn't say easy, but it feels very natural for me.
Oh, that's great. I'm just kidding because I
Yes.
picture you sitting on a bench at school and kids would come up and just, here's some lunch money. Listen
One
to
quarter for my advice. Yeah.
me. That's great. So, you know what? We're coming up on the holiday seasons. And I think part of this, it would be important to understand for everybody what creates that anxiety with family and the holiday season.
There are a lot of things that create anxiety at the holiday season. One of them is just how you're going to fund your holidays, right? So you have things that you want to get for your family. Maybe that's food for a large dinner, or maybe that's gifts for the people in your household. And then of course, when you travel to other households and extended family, then you have gifts that you want to get them, or you have to bring a dish. So there are lots of things that cause stress at the holiday time. However, one of the biggest things that causes stress is finances and relationships. Those are the two biggest stressors at this time of year. I would
Okay,
say the
so.
third one would be grief. Like where, when people have lost loved ones throughout the year, there's a lot of grief that happens at when this is the first, Hanukkah that dad's not with us, or the first Christmas that your sister is gone, or maybe it's the 10th. Right. So sometimes grief sneaks up on us in different ways. So those would be the top three stressors.
So when somebody's dealing, just real quickly about, what the finances. You know what? The easiest way, what's the best perspective from your point of view on how to deal with the finances? And then we'll get into the other two because those are the bigger two.
I think the biggest way to address the finances is to first have an honest conversation with yourself about what you can afford. And so often we feel uncomfortable with having that, even that admitting to ourselves, we cannot afford the holiday season we had last year. Or yet again, this is the third Christmas in a row that I can't buy X, Y, or Z. I think being honest with ourselves about that instead of going into debt to maintain an image is the number one thing. And then after that, I think it's being honest with loved ones, especially if your family is very much so into gift giving and that's how they show love. Not every family shows love that way. In fact, some families don't give gifts at all. But if that is your family's culture, then one thing that you could do is try to shift the culture and share how you're going to be giving, what gifts you're going to be giving this year. And those could be verbal gifts. Those could be even emotional gifts, right? Like it could be going out to lunch separately with your favorite cousin and buying lunch as opposed to paying for, this extravagant gift that you normally give, right? So I think having honest conversations with yourself and then with others is one of the first things you need to do when it comes to finances.
I was going to say one of the coolest gifts that we got 2 years ago was from one of our family members who created a recipe book of pictures of the family and all our favorite recipes. And all the, my mom has these recipes that everybody wants just because they're that good. And everybody's mom or somebody in the family has that. But out of all the gifts that were given, that was the top one. And I think it probably costs, maybe $10, $12 as opposed to $50, $60, or $100.
Yeah.
So,
It's that 100%. That's a great example of, a gift that is so touching and that probably means more than the new UGG boots that are on your list, right? And so that is a perfect example. And really, that's one of the reasons why I love Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is a cultural holiday. It's not a religious holiday, so anybody can celebrate it. But the whole premise, one of the premises of Kwanzaa is that the gifts that we give are about quality time spent together or handmade gifts. They're not about materialistic. It's not about materialistic things.
that's wonderful. Now, here's the next thing. We're talking about grief, and I totally understand this because a few years ago, I mean, we lost like four or five people in our family all in a matter of 4 weeks, and
Wow.
they're from different parts of the country and all that kind of stuff. And I remember, the first time somebody says, "Oh, we miss Mark," and you could just see the whole room went, So, you know what, when stuff like that happens, you know what, I, you know what, how do you know what, is it one of those things to understand that it could happen? How do you deal with that?
100%. I think you need to be prepared for waves of grief that happen during this time period, in particular when everybody is together. And I think, and people grieve differently, right? So I think everybody needs to have some grace around how people grieve. And tears make some people very uncomfortable. Watching other people cry can be uncomfortable for some, but also being silent about that person can also be uncomfortable for some. So I think it's really important to have a conversation about how we're going to honor this person at this time of year and what's going to be most helpful. For example, every year my mom and her sisters and our cousins, the women of the family, get together and we go to a play. And then after the play, we go out to lunch. And so one year it just happened to be that we went to the play on my grandmother's birthday. And so at lunch, I bought a picture of her and I sat her at a seat. So her picture was at a seat, right? And my mom had a tearful moment and we hugged and then we just sat around and we talked about her. But it was like she was in at the table, right? For some people, that would be way too much emotion. That would just be a lot of emotion, and that wouldn't be helpful. I know my family very well, so I knew that that wouldn't have been an emotionally jar too much of an emotionally jarring experience. I think it depends on when the loss happened. My grandmother passed in 1992, so I think when the loss happens also makes a is a big deal.
Oh, yeah, the perfect piece of advice is know the audience.
Yes, know your, you got to know. I say this to one of my girlfriends all the time. You got to know your people. You got to know your people. So if you know that there's somebody who would just not be able to collect themselves in that moment at the table, that's probably not a, that should not be a surprise. It was a surprise for my family, but I knew that we could all manage that emotional moment. But if it's too, if it's a tragic loss, that has it has a layer. If it's a recent loss, that has a layer, right? And then you also have to just consider the personalities of the people in the space. So all of that considered, I knew that, there would be a tear or two, and then we would laugh and joke about some of the funny things she said or did or experiences that we had.
Yeah, when our family does stuff like that, it turns into the funniest things they've ever done. So everybody just laughs, and because we're the family, we don't get mushy cards, we get joke cards. So that's us. So hey, folks, this is great so far. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Dr. Lakita Carter.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you for letting us, letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check us out on UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you, solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Saving with Steve or Saving with Steve Sexton on the Facebook page and, get all the guest gifts, replays. You're going to want to listen to this two or three times because you're not going to want to forget anything. So we're going to go right back to Lakita, you know what? One of the big things that all about the holidays is the family dysfunction. I don't care what family you're in, y'all have dysfunction. We have it. You probably do too. And everybody I know does, because everybody complains about this one person or this other person, or, you know, the relatives who all they want to talk about is how great they are and all that kind of stuff, and never want to listen to anybody else. And you're laughing, oh, I know those people. So help us with understanding that, but also let's talk about how do we create some, you know, boundaries with that.
So I think that holiday season is one of the times of the year, it's pretty much the only time of the year where we are white knuckling dealing with our family. Like, this is something that there are other times of the year we can probably get around it there, but there's a lot of pressure at the end of the year. There's a lot of things happening. And so it creates a space where, you know, you have to share space and time with people that you necessarily wouldn't choose to be around, but their family, right? So I think there are a few things we want to consider. Number one is recognizing the feelings that are happening in your body when you are around certain people. And that it just is what it is, right? I don't think that it does us any disservice when we say, well, I'm going to have fun because that's my mom, or this is going to be great because that's my uncle. I think that it does us a service to say, you know, I'm going home for Hanukkah, and I am uncomfortable in the space with her. I feel on edge when I share a room with Uncle Bob. I feel angst or anger when I'm in the same room with my dad. I think acknowledging our feelings in the space helps us to understand what's happening for us. And many times when we use language, we talk about how we think, and we don't talk about how we feel. So acknowledging how we feel, and then identify the why. There are many reasons that we go around people that don't feel comfortable for us. Sometimes it's because we have to maintain the image. This is family. And, you know, so if I'm not there, then the family won't be complete, right? It's four sisters, and we all need to be there in order for it to be a really complete holiday experience. Other times it's just out of obligation. I'm going to feel guilty, or I'm going to break a tradition if I don't go. Other times it's because of hope. Really want this to be a great holiday this year, right? So I'm hoping that we can get on the same page. There are lots of reasons. So just clarify your why for yourself. Why am I going this year? If you can't come up with a why, don't go.
I actually love that, because when you talk about understanding why, a friend whose wife and her sister-in-law don't really get along, because the sister-in-law, every time they're together, she gives the backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
I got one of those
in my family.
And it's like 20 years of backhanded compliments. And it's just one of those things that's now a trigger. It's like, oh my God, here it comes. Are they going to be there? And that's what the first question is so-and-so showing up?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you're also walking into that space very guarded. You are on guard for an attack, right? Mm-hmm. So then you have started your holiday, literally, from the moment you walk into the space with your candy
with your guard up.
And your arms. Yes. You're literally like having armor in front of you and with the candy yams in your arms, and you're thinking, just be normal this Christmas. Just be normal right now. Mm-hmm. Please don't say anything that's going to set me off, but I'm expecting you to say something. So then you're planning ahead. I need to be able to respond quickly. That adds pressure to you, right? I don't want to be angry, but I don't want to cry. Sometimes people who are angry cry. When we're angry, we cry. So there are lots of things that are happening in your head, and all of them take away the joy of that space. Mm-hmm. And they put it into another box, the box of guardedness and angst and discomfort, right? So each time we sort of plan how we're going to respond to someone's negativity, we're taking away from the joy in the space. So that means that we really do need to figure out what our boundaries are. One of my favorite things to think about is, and people ask me all the time, like, how much longer do I take my sister's blank, my sister's negativity or her backhanded comments? How much longer? And my response is, how many sips of poison do you take before you die? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? And we really don't want to do that math, right? We want to assume that the poison is poison, and that one sip could do it, could kill us. Four sips could kill us. Since we don't know, how about we don't drink the poison? How about we find another way to support our family and to be present without exposing ourselves to that which is poisonous to our bodies and to our minds. So that, so for some people, that could mean this year is not the year, is the year I'm not coming.
You don't know how many, I'm just going to say this, you don't know how many, well, I'm going to tell you, we had like 675 emails that essentially said that. My sister-in-law does this. They're a team with my brother. I'm waiting for my brother to do this. And it's just always on edge. And I've got that trigger. And I'm saying in my mind, you better not, you better not, you better not. And like a whole bunch of stuff just like that. So like, I'm like, wow.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of ways that we can support our families. And oftentimes people think that the only way to support is to do what we've done every year. But there are many ways to support other family members, including having, you know, going out separately, including making a phone call that day and sharing some laughs, including sending, you know, whatever it is, sending your gift ahead of time. But what, and I'm a proponent for family, right? And I want families to heal. But I also think that two people have to be willing to come together in order for there to be in a healed space. So if one person is ready to put down their armor, but the other person is not ready to put down the weapon, then essentially you are exposed, you are vulnerable. And I want us to have, I want everybody to have the holiday season that they would like to have, right? That creates freshness for them and relaxation and wholeness, and not guardedness and defensiveness. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that means that this is not the year I can come. And it really just depends on what else is happening in your life.
So here's one of those things. I get the impression, and I probably am wrong just because I'm asking this and seeing things. I get the impression that many people are saying, hey, this family. They do something that's maybe I feels a little inappropriate the first time, but their family, and I let it go. And then it keeps continuing. And then you have the same family member doing the same thing after same thing after same thing. And I get the feeling that that family member that does that, it's like cutting somebody off in a car and you don't realize it. And the person behind you is flipping you off. Yes. But you have no clue that you're actually creating that reaction in other people.
Yes.
And is there a way to get somebody to understand the reaction they're creating with other people? Or is that like a bomb ready to pop?
Yeah, we have it's called having a crucial conversation. So a few things that I do. Number one, when something has happened and that makes me uncomfortable, especially in a space where like a family space like that, I put things in the freezer, which means that I put them on ice and see how I feel about them in a few days. I might respond accordingly in the moment to a backhanded comment. I might respond with, you know, with just as much sharpness, right? But I put it in the freezer. And my general response is, if this is still bothering me in 3 days, then I know it's not something that I should let pass. And so in 3 days, sometimes I haven't thought about it again. And then I know it's not a thing. You know, it just was in that moment. I handled it in the moment and then I moved on. But if it's something that still comes to my remembrance, like, I can't believe he said that. Like, this is what happens every Christmas, right? If that's the case, then you have a crucial conversation. You ask to talk to them and you say, this was my experience of the other day. And I need you to know that that created these feelings in me. And the next thing I do is share, and I don't want to have those negative feelings in our relationship. I would like to have nothing but positive feelings in our relationship. Certainly relationships are difficult. So there are times when people offend each other. And I'm open to hearing when I've offended you. And I hope you're open to having this conversation that I'm having with you right now. But ultimately, I do need you to know that I was hurt by your comment, and I would appreciate it if you didn't make those kinds of comments again in the future. So what I want to share with our listeners,
please,
and our viewers, I want you to have that conversation, because it's always about the process and never about the prize. It's always about you advocating for yourself, you finding your voice, and you sharing what's important to you. How they respond, which is the prize, is irrelevant. So if they say, gee, I had no idea that I impacted you that way, I'm sorry. That's wonderful. But the most important part was that you advocated for yourself and you found your voice and you shared your experience. And if they say, you know what, you are the craziest person I've ever met, and I can't believe that you would call me and waste my time telling me that, it's still about the process, about your self-advocacy, about you finding your voice. So their response is not as important as you saying, this is something that's important for me to share with you.
We're here talking to Dr. Lakeeta Carter. Now, you know what? Sometimes people just need a little extra help and they're not able to do it on their own. So You know what, Lakita, how should people go about getting that extra or knowing when to get that extra help? I think is important.
It is. So there are a few things that I want our listeners to consider. One is if your relationships are not in the place that you want them to be, then you can reach out to a psychologist or a mental health provider. It's not always that your relationships are so terrible. Sometimes people just say, I just want a closer relationship with my brother. It's not that we talk once a month, we text, but I just want to be closer and I don't have the skills to create that closeness. So going to therapy isn't always about fixing something that is, you know, that it's not always necessarily about illness. Sometimes treatment is just about being a better version of you. It's learning about yourself, learning, coming up with some goals, and then working towards those goals, finding skills to work towards those goals. And maybe the skill that you need is understanding what it is that you want, that many times in your life and your upbringing, people have made decisions for you and you have gone along with them. And now you're at the space where you think, no, I want to make a decision. Well, I want to start making decisions for myself and not just going along with what is already happening in my environment. But how do I do that? Because I wasn't raised to do that. I was raised to let other people do that work for me. That's a good reason to go to treatment. Another reason to go to treatment is if your relationships are impacting your daily functioning, as in, you know, you live three states away from all of your sisters, and yet you are restless at night because of the fight you had with one, and you are distracted at work because you haven't spoken to the other one in 3 years. Like, these are examples of things that you want to work on in treatment, so that you can figure out where you want to go from here. You can figure out even how you're contributing to the dysfunction and the disconnection that you have in your relationships. So I would say those are the two most important things, that reasons why you go to treatment. But ultimately, treatment, no matter if the other person gets into treatment or not, and certainly family therapy is a good idea, right? But some people, but again, you have to have two willing parties. So if the other person's not willing, that means that you can still go. Because in family therapy, one of the major quotes is, when one person in the system changes, the whole system changes, right? So you getting healthier means that the system will change. It's kind of like, here's the example I give my patients. You're a family of five, two parents and three kids. And one of the parents has COVID and they're quarantined for 3 weeks. Everything that parent did now has to shift to someone else. In other words, one person in the system changed and the whole system changed. Maybe that parent was the parent who picked up every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, now you've got to figure out who's going to do that. Maybe that parent was the parent who mowed the grass every Saturday. Well, for three Saturdays, you got to figure out how to do that. When one person in the system changes, the whole system changes. So when one person gets healthier, the whole system changes. The whole system doesn't necessarily get healthier, but the whole system changes. So you getting healthier means that you are changing the system in some way.
Okay. So I think that's wonderful. So here's a question. And the reason why I'm asking is probably 1,000 people ask this.
Yeah, I see your wheels turning on this.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the best way to ask this.
Yeah.
Because what if you find out you're the problem?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a great question. What a great question.
That was as simple as I can ask it.
Okay, so here's the thing. Many times when that information is offered, there is a rejection of that information. And one of the things that I'd like to share with our viewers is to, if you find out that information, I think it's really helpful to be inquisitive. It's to be curious. I think if we approach more things with curiosity and less defensiveness. So when someone says, you know, I just had this conversation with a family member the other day, you've been snippy lately. And don't get me wrong, you're typically snippy. But lately, you've been snippier. I literally said those exact words. And I said, is everything okay? I think that the best way to engage someone who's sharing that feedback with you is to inquire more, is to tell me more about that. What are the examples that you, and not in a defensive way, like, what do you mean? I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah, where is that coming from? Yeah,
where is that coming from? What am I doing to give you that message? How have I shown up in this space for you? What's going on? What's happening that you're getting that communication from me? And then the next thing I want that person to do is to ask trusted others.
Ooh, that's a toughie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the.
So
that's
how do you? Okay, so
I'm going to follow up with
that.
Grow.
Okay, no, I understand that, but how do you go and ask trusted others? Because that's pretty darn scary. Even if they're your best friends, well, maybe your best friends might. If they're really your best friends, they're going to tell you, and they might tell you anyways. But how do you go about? You know, you might ask four or five people. How do you go about asking them?
Yeah, it's very simple. I got some feedback the other day that I'm inquiring about, and you are somebody I trust to be honest with me. Tell me if this makes sense to you. Tell me if this. I had my best friend ask me the other day. She said, "I feel funny saying this, but I just think blank." And she said something that, you know, she felt uncomfortable that this was her feeling, but this was her feeling. Like, I just think blank. And she said, "Key, is this an area of grow for me?" Is this an area of grow for me? Have I been snippy lately? Is this an area of grow? Mm-hmm. So I think that, but it takes an incredible amount of vulnerability in order for you to ask that question. You have to be willing to hear somebody say, "You haven't been snippy lately. You're just generally snippy. It's just something that I know about you." Mm-hmm. It's just you, right? And somebody who really loves you. Okay, here's the other thing I want our viewers to understand. When people give you feedback, it is because they are investing in you.
That's a good way to look at it. The love's coming through because they're saying that.
Yes. And maybe that feedback hurts, and maybe that feedback is difficult to hear. But like 95% of the time when someone is giving you feedback, it's because they are investing in you. They want to sustain a relationship with you. They want to be closer to you. They want to be engaged with you. I can tell you, I interact with people all the time because people is my business, right? There are people I would not give feedback to. And it's simply because I'm not going to invest the time and energy into giving feedback to you. You're just not that close to me. I let somebody else that close to you share that feedback, right? There are other people where I would say, I think it's important for me to share with you that what I heard you say to her the other day, it was rude. I'm not used to experiencing you that way, but it was definitely sharp. And her face took it the way I heard it. Her face was hurt. She had rejection in her face. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but I saw her, but I also heard your words and I felt it in my body. What you said was rude. That's an investment in you, because I could have just heard it and been like, it's not my thing to share, mm-hmm. right?
So here's a follow-up question that if you're asking a friend and the friend, you know, goes, "No, you're okay." I don't want to read too much into a friend, but you know what? Everybody's come across somebody that they've tried to ask that to and they haven't gotten the response they were looking for. Is it really, you know, I don't know if it's the wrong friend or maybe the wrong time, wrong place. How should somebody look at that? Because a lot of times when you do that and you're looking for something and you don't get it, you have a different reaction on the whole thing.
So two things. Right now, I'm going to speak to the friend. If someone's asking you for feedback, they've taken the risk to ask, take the risk to answer. That's where vulnerability is. It's two people taking the risk. In vulnerability in relationships, it's two people taking a risk. So if someone has made themselves vulnerable enough to say, "I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to ask about my areas of grow or my areas of my growth edges," then you have to take the risk to say, "I love you. Hear me when I say this. Yes, you're mean. Yes, you're mean." Yes. So that's what I want our friends to know. The other thing I'll share is, if you believe, because sometimes people are almost scared to be honest with us because they're scared of our reactions. So if you, for example, for somebody who is known to have anger problems. When I say anger, I don't necessarily mean explosiveness, although it can be, or violence, although it can be, but anger problems in the sense that you will withdraw and or emotionally punish people for being honest with you. If that is you, then I would suggest you do something that one of my good friends did. She made a Google form, an anonymous Google form, and she asked, "What are my three areas of strength? What are my three areas of growth edges? What would you tell me anonymously, like just need me to know about how I show up in the world?" And she sent it out to 10 friends. Mm-hmm. "Please take the time to give me feedback on how I can be a better friend." And it was anonymous. So she didn't know who responded to anything. If you have specific questions, then ask them yes or no questions. Are there instances where you've seen me be mean? Is rude a way that you were a characteristic of me? How would you describe me? Right? Ask the questions that you want to know. And if you think that your friends will not be honest with you because of how you have shown up in the past with them, then create an anonymous form and ask your friends to fill it out.
That's wonderful advice. It's wonderful.
It was wonderful. When I got it from her, I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is somebody who really is investing in her her growth, right? That she's saying, just tell me. I don't care if it hurts my feelings, just tell me. And to that end, I don't even want to know who's saying it. I know who I sent this to, and I know I trust you to respond to me. Yeah, it was an incredible moment for me. I absolutely loved it.
I'm just going to say this. Many years ago, when I went through a corporate leadership program, they asked us to do that exact same thing to all our direct supports. Mm-hmm. And then they asked us to do the same thing to their direct support. So like two levels down, what do people look and think of you? And what can you improve on? I mean, that was eye-opening. And it was very interesting, the scale of how you came across with different people. And you start referring back to those interactions. You're like, yeah, I could have done that a lot better. Or like, wow, that was good. So that was wonderful. Hey, folks, you got to stick with us and be right back, because right next, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to protect your peace. So stick with us. We're going to be right back with Dr. Lakita Carney.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to truly thank you for sharing this with your friends and families. Again, all the shows are available on savingwithsteve.us. You can go to our YouTube page, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. And we're definitely getting that today with Dr. Lakita Carter. So now, one of the big things we want to talk about, and that's why we shaved it for last, is what it looks like to protect your peace, especially during the holiday season with all the stress and everything that's going on, whether it's driving, whether it's family, whatever, there's not a lot of peace.
So one of the things I like to remind people is that, protect your peace is pretty commonly said. And so sometimes we don't even remember, we don't really understand what that means, because peace means different things to different people. And for some people, for some personality styles, peace is actually, there is peace in chaos. That when there is arguments, when there are there's tension between people, that actually can feel peaceful. In fact, when things are calm, they are uncomfortable. So what I like to think of it as is protecting your energy. You only have a finite amount of energy. Every day you get a finite amount of energy. And some days you end the day and you've got energy in the bank, right? You could have used more. And other days you end the day and you're at completely zero. So when you protect your energy, I want you to think about the things that completely deplete you. And I want you to start subtracting them expeditiously from your life. One of my favorite quotes, when life stops adding up, start subtracting, mm-hmm. right? So I also want you to create some self-care rituals. Self-care is not something that we do once a month or every 2 weeks. Self-care is something that we do every single day, multiple times a day. It is not about facials and manis and pedis and massages, although those can be great self-care activities. Self-care is about renewing your soul. It's about restoring your spirit. It's about feeding yourself healthy things, feeding your mind, healthy things that keep it growing. So that means that self-care could be every morning you read scripture. You take 5 minutes to read scripture. You take 5 minutes to meditate or pray. Or every lunchtime, you get up from your desk and you take a walk around your building once. Or listening to music as you drive home from work and not talking on the phone. For some people, self-care could be connecting on the phone because they work a pretty isolated job. But you must do self-care throughout the day. And you must find things that really give you what I call, especially during the workday, commercial breaks. So there, if I'm sitting here, I'm at my practice, I'm sitting here and I've been working on a project nonstop. If I get foggy or heavy or, you know, I just feel like I am really struggling to get some motivation, I will stop and I will go to the pictures, the photos app on my phone, and I'll start swiping. Because invariably, I'm going to see the last cookout we had. I'm going to see the 74, you know, selfies that my kids took during church when they asked me to take my phone so that they could read the Bible. And then before I knew it, they were on the camera app instead of the Bible app. Yeah. So I'm looking at like half pictures of their faces and the ceiling of the church and up their left nostril. Like all of those things make me smile and they give me a commercial break from the heaviness that I'm working on. You need to find those things for you. And they're going to be different because everybody is different. Literally, everybody is different. So they're going to be different, but you need to find those things for you and then engage them every single day. And that is how you protect your energy. That is how you refuel for the afternoon.
And you know what? Can I just add this? One of the people wrote in and says, one of the ways I protect myself is I have 3 minute friends, 10 minute friends, 3 hour friends, 3 day friends. So a 3 minute friend, that's all I can handle. And it's just like, this is a 3 hour friend is somebody I'm never going to spend a weekend with. It might be dinner. It might be hanging out with them for an event, but that's it. Is that a good idea? Or is that something?
I love that idea. I love knowing your people. We're full circle. You've got to know your people. And there's some people because of how they show up in the world. Maybe you just have a particularly whiny friend. Oh, you have a friend who sees everything is half empty. So all the conversations are about how things aren't going well. I've certainly said that to a friend, like, what's going well in your life? Tell me that. Because we've spent the last 45 minutes talking about how this is awful and this sucks and this isn't working and this is gonna die soon and this is gonna resign soon and this is gonna, you know, retire soon. What's working well in your life, right? Because that can be draining. To me, it can be draining, right? So yes, I 100% love the idea of putting your friends in different spaces so that you know what it is. So when you're at zero, you know, you might not be able to talk to the 3 hour friend simply because the depth of the conversation that you have doesn't warrant the amount of energy you have. Mm-hmm. But a 3 minute friend, you could be like, yeah, I can certainly talk to you. Hey, what's up? Oh yeah, I did see that new movie. All right, I'm gonna get in the shower and go to bed, right? Like you can have a great conversation with a 3 minute friend. And it's not always the case that you want to spend all your time with a 3 day friend, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do just need those 3 minute friends. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, I was just thinking, because I do know of somebody who knows what I do and they're researching for themselves and they want to give me like the 45 minute speech on something I already know. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of sit there and go like a bobblehead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my wife looks at me, she goes, that was so rude. You just laughed. I go, hey, I can't handle anymore.
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's also really important that when we know for sure how much bandwidth we have, we announce that so that we don't appear rude. Like if someone calls and says, hey, do you have a minute to talk? So when you say a minute, how many do you need? Because I really am on empty and I don't want to shortchange you. So if you really need my input and you really need my advice, I'm very foggy right now. I had a really tough day and I don't know that I can show up for you in the way you need me. But tomorrow morning on my way to work, I will be fresh off of a good night's sleep and I'll be able to talk, right? Like that, I 100% think that we have this to let people know what we can contribute. It would be no different than if a friend came to you and said, I need $100. And you said, I have 20. That's all I have, right? Mm-hmm. It's no different. Our energy is the same. I see energy as the same as money. It is capital for me to spend. So if my kid asks me, hey, mom, I want to go to the you know, to the mall. Do you have kids? Don't say that anymore. That was my generation. But you know, I want to go someplace. Do you have $40? I got 20, right? And there's nothing else I can do about that, right? Right now I have 20. So if you're leaving right now, then I'm either going to cash app you the other 20, or if I don't have it, then I don't have it. I have 20 and I see energy the same way. You need $100 worth of energy right now. And I've got 15 left in my bank. I don't know that the 15 is going to do this justice. Can you wait until tomorrow morning when I'll have 100 for you?
I like the way you said, I only have 3 minutes for you. I don't have a lot of time to show up for you. Putting it like, hey, I want to do
the me
this
thing.
For you. But, yeah.
The me thing. It's not a you thing. I want to be here in the ways in which you need me to be here because I'm your friend. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I don't want to shortchange what you need, right? It's most important that I give you what you need. And if that means that we have to wait until I've rested, or that means that we have to wait until I finish this project and the deadline is 5 p.m. today, I will call you at 6, right? If that's what that means, I'd much rather put that out there than me resent like, okay, I've got a deadline at 5 and now you're calling me. Okay, I guess I'll just listen because that's what good friends do. And then the whole time I'm listening, but I'm also typing and trying to concentrate on this deadline that I have.
Well, that always works.
That always works out perfectly, right? And so, yeah, it makes much more sense to just share what you have, the mm-hmm. capital that you have.
I tell you what, this has been wonderful. Lakita, could you just take a moment and share with our listeners how your business works, what you do for people? And if somebody would, you know, hey, they need some help, they want to get a hold of you, how would they go about doing that?
Yes. So I am the owner and CEO of the Institute for Healing, which is an outpatient mental health treatment practice in Owings Mills, Maryland. We see everybody from 4 all the way to the end of life for everything from adjustment disorders and things like, you know, empty nesting and, you know, getting married and managing college stress, all the way to serious and persistent mental illness like schizophrenia and bipolar. So we see the whole gamut, and my team here would love to work with you if you think that you need mental health treatment. We are open Monday through Saturday. We have telehealth hours as well as in-person hours. I also do mental health education all the time on my Instagram page. So you can follow me at Dr. Lakita, DrLakeita. And I offer mental health tips about relationships, intimacy, love, lust, sex, forgiveness, anxiety, depression, trauma, all the things that I really work with every single day.
Thank you so much, Lakita. This has been outstanding. You really want to listen to this again and again because all the wonderful tips and ahas she's provided. You can go to her website and get more information as well. With that, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. Again, all the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to your YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City. All these networkers are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.